Good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Youth Unplugged, brought to you by the Bank of St. Lucia. Today I'm joined with Miss Shavana Francis. Good afternoon, Shavana. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm doing okay, thank you.
Yeah, you raise your voice a little bit for me there.
All right.
I just didn't know that I think she's very soft spoken. You understand? But she's breaking that dynamic already.
Yes.
So, Miss Francis, this afternoon we're going to take this interview into two components. The first one, we need to get to know you a little bit.
Okay.
So can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Okay, I like to ask people, do you want to know the short version or the long version? Because there's so many things to know about me.
We have about 15 minutes for that part. So I can take the long version.
Okay, so my name is Shavana Francis, and I'm a somatic therapist and a high-performance coach for women. I'm also an educator. But when people ask me, who are you? I like to say I'm a human being, because there's so much that comes with me. So I like to say who I am as a human and not what I do and all the accolades that are added to my name. So
I'll take that.
My journey started in 2019, my journey with therapy and healing and all of that, because a lot of people know I found out my husband was cheating on me, and then I literally lost my shit and went crazy. Like, literally went crazy. I ended up in the mental hospital. I had clinical depression. I had PTSD. I had so many mental issues. And it didn't start because of the infidelity and what happened in my marriage. It started because I had so much trauma in my childhood and throughout my life that was never addressed. And so I did what everybody had been doing. You buried under your success, you buried under your beauty, you buried under your makeup. And so I just got to a point in my life where there was nothing else to bury underneath. And so it all came coming out. It all came out, and I had no choice but to deal with it. And so I started on this journey of healing and finding myself. And so as I went through that journey, I found that I am just a human being who had a human experience, and I overcame it. And now I'm teaching other people to do the same.
Okay, Shavana, I mean, we can dissect that. You understand? I like the long version. You understand? I mean, new things to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't aware of any of these things. So then I say, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I mean, when you heal, there's a lot. Yeah, to take it part by part by part. Just like we're going to be taking this interview part by part. So we're going to be speaking specifically today about mental health. And I mean, we're not in the month for mental health, but it's Women's Month.
Yes.
And Miss Francis is using her platform specifically for women. So if I need a little help, I'll still give you a little shout. You understand?
Yes.
All right. So we have some room for men as well. But
yes,
this afternoon specifically for women, we are inside Women's Month. And of course, this month we're going to have only women on Youth Unplugged. And we started today with Miss Francis. So what better way to go? All right, Shavana. So what were some of these challenges you had starting up?
Starting up?
When I say starting up,
okay,
not only with regards to the business, but in general.
I think one of the biggest things was even just knowing that there was a problem. Because what I found just from my experience and the people that I support is that living with trauma is so normal that we think that because it's normal, it's okay. And so I had problems that I didn't realize were actual problems. I would have these angry outbursts, and I could not control my emotions. So, you know, when people say I go from 0 to 100.
Real quick.
That is not cute.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what everybody's doing. So we tend to think that it's the thing.
It's fine. It's in the music too. Right?
Yeah, and we wear it like a badge. Like,
yes.
Like, you better know I go from 0 to 100. But in reality, that damages a lot of relationships. And what I teach is that we experience the beauty of life through the relationships that we have. Whether it's a friendship, a family relationship, no matter what the relationship is, you can only really experience your life through relationships. And if the way you're living is damaging relationships, then you're really hurting the quality of your life. So for me, the hardest thing was understanding that I had things that needed to be addressed and then finding the support to do that.
Okay. But for those of us who don't know, What exactly is mental health? I think I want your definition. I have a definition there. Okay,
I want to hear your definition.
No, I have my Google definition there, but that's not important. My Google definition is my notes. Mm-hmm. But I think your definition will probably suffice. If you want, I can read mine after.
Yeah, I think I want you to read yours first.
Okay. Well, mine is specific to mental health awareness. Mm-hmm. And according to betterup.com, really not scholastic or academic, but I like that definition. Mental health awareness is the ongoing effort to reduce the stigma around mental illness and mental health conditions by sharing our personal experiences. So this afternoon, you actually started to share your personal experience with us, yeah. Which is, I mean, very brief, but it's in line with the definition I have. I also have something here from the government of St. Lucia that it's an old draft. I think the draft was in the Ministry of Health in 2007, okay. And it spoke about what the word mental meant. It started off by saying mental is a word which often evokes negative thoughts and feelings. It's like when we say, oh, you're mental. It's ouch. Like, that's hurting me. But in this document, it went on to speak on how the World Health Organization is pushing for people to be aware of exactly what's going on around them and how to deal with some of these issues. I'm not too sure if this ever went to Parliament and passed, but it's an old document from the archives of the St. Lucia government. And it goes on and on. I mean, you could go online and read it to people. It's there. The name of the document is St. Lucia Mental Health Policy. I'm not too sure if you're too familiar with that.
I've never
and what
that
our
one.
Mental health policy is in St. Lucia, but it's there. We have something, I think, probably still in the draft stage. I don't see the final document. That's something we probably need to work on. People may come in around, so government, Ministry of Health, let's talk about that. But your definition of mental health.
I think people like to think that when you're looking at mental health, it's the absence of mental illnesses. But we also have to think about the presence of certain things. And so you can not have depression, and you cannot have anxiety, and you cannot have PTSD. And then you can also not have joy and peace and calm. And without the presence of these little things, then you don't really have mental health. So it's the absence of illness, but also the presence of joy and fulfillment and passion and love in your life.
I mean, if you ever write a book, I want to see that right in the glossary somewhere at the back, that your definition.
Okay, no problem.
I really like that one. Okay, so how do I know if I'm mentally unwell? You made mention to a few things that speaks to if one actually suffers from mental, but how do I know that I'm unwell? Is it the fact that I suffer from anxiety? Personally, sometimes I feel like, boy, you know, often I have papers to mark, you know, and but I have something else to go on. I have a gig to go. But when am I going to finish mark those papers? So sometimes I start to feel the chest. And that was not happening to me before.
Okay.
As a teenager, that would not happen. But when I entered the 20s and started working, I started to feel like I have anxiety. Does that mean that I suffer from mental? Does that mean that I'm mentally unwell?
Not necessarily. I think there's different levels to it. So just like you would wake up on a morning and not be in your best space, mentally, you will not always be in the best place, but that doesn't mean you're unwell. I think when I look at mental health and wellness, I like to look at it from a from a perspective of trauma. So I never really talk about it in the context of illness, because who's to say you're ill? But when we look at people living with trauma, you could look at how is that trauma starting to affect your life. And we start to look at it becoming a serious problem when it's affecting your ability to function in your relationships and in your job. So if you're in a space where you have problems that are weighing on you and it's starting to compromise the way you show up at work, at home, just within yourself, then you can start to say, okay, there are things that need to be addressed. But just for everybody, everybody has an experience of trauma, and everybody can start to work on their mental well-being.
Actually, saw a statistic saying that women actually suffer or twice as likely to be diagnosed with things like anxiety, things linked with mental illness, or, you know, the lack of mental health. I think women actually suffer more. But there's also another study here from CNBC saying that the number one reason why women quit their jobs, not necessarily just about money, but mental health, the lack of mental health, anxiety, and all these things, again, coming into play some way, somehow. So women, you know, you might have to come and see Shavana there, you know.
But I really want to challenge that, because is it that women are really suffering more, or is it that men don't show up to get support?
I think it's a bit of both. But the other day I had long lady here, Twinkle, Alberta Richard, we spoke about women and, of course, the role of women changing now, but still, women normally have sometimes a lot more on their plate, making up, you know, single mothers and that sort of thing. There is a lot of added pressure on women.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we tend not to speak about that. Women mm-hmm. try not to speak about it. I grew up in a single parent household. I'm a twin. My mother had two of us. I mean, there are days when my mother come home and she vexed. You understand, her face screw, and I can't tell you what my mother makes. So probably she just, you know, but I can't even up to the day like today, I just leave it alone, because mm-hmm. I mean, she probably have a mood moving her. You know, these things happen. You understand it? Sometimes people tell you women are more moody than men. I mean, probably, but I think there's a reason for that. You understand? Sometimes it's the fact that women have a lot more on their plate, oftentimes than men. You know, so I would put that out there. Somebody might challenge me and say that's not the case, but I believe so. I believe that the dynamic that women are faced with most of the time, it allows them, or it's one of the reasons why they have a lot more on their plate than some men. Not say all men, but some men.
Some men.
Okay? So I'll just put that out there.
Okay.
But I think men also need to come forward and discuss some of the problems. There are a lot of memes, you know, talking about the only place men go for therapy is in their barbershop.
Oh, I've never seen that. You've never seen that before?
It makes sense. When I go to the barbershop, you spend sometimes 2.5 hours inside there waiting for your turn. And whilst you wait for your turn, the amount of stories that you hear, fellas saying, oh boy, that girl told me this, that girl told me that. And then when I come there, oh, that's it. But sometimes that girl was, it's like a little let lie in the barbershop.
Okay.
It's where you speak about your problems. I'm being very honest. And any fellow who agrees with me, you can send me a little message on the texting platform to say that it happened. What I'm saying actually makes sense, because it's what happens. I have never gone to a counselor in my time I've been at school. Probably more females go to the counselor at school. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But I know I never went. You know, so we have to address some of these problems. But what causes mental illness? What causes mental? You spoke about trauma. Are there any other things you would say causes mental health among probably adolescents?
I think amongst every single person, when we look at any mental illness, it's always a symptom of a deeper trauma. And trauma can happen at any point in your life. We like to think that a trauma would be what happened to you. The trauma is not what happened to you. It's how your body was able to respond and continues to respond to what happened to you. And so somebody could call you stupid, and that could be a trauma for you, whereas somebody else might be more resilient to that experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's not up to us to say, this is what led to somebody's experience of trauma, and now that is affecting their mental health, because everybody's experience is different and valid. So to answer that question, there's no real specific answer to say this, that, and that, and that will cause a mental problem. Any situation in your life that feels overwhelming can become a problem for you.
Okay. When we get back inside, can we do for a quick commercial break? I had to shout out our sponsor. That's the Bank of St. Lucia. When we come back inside, we're going to speak a little bit more about mental health, and specifically to your speciality and your business. Stay with us, guys.
Finally, a card for everyday living. Bank of St. Lucia Visa Credit Card. Everything gets paid with my card. My utility bills, grocery shopping, that cute dress I saw online, my favorite entertainment and Netflix subscriptions. I collect points each time I use my credit card to redeem anytime. Yes! Imagine a credit card rewarding my lifestyle. Bank of St. Lucia Visa Credit Card for everyday people, everyday moments.
I never truly understood the meaning of owning a home until I owned one myself. A home. It's my space. Sitting in my own living room. Walls in my favorite color. Having tea on my couch. My soul knows that this is home. And every time I walk through the hallways, I am overcome with a feeling of achievement and joy. A peace of mind. Knowing that I made the right choice.
Home Sweet Home by Bank of St. Lucia. Start your home journey with us.
Thank you for staying with us. This is Youth Unplugged, brought to you by the Bank of St. Lucia. Remember, owning your home is that much easier and, you know, that much sweeter with the Bank of St. Lucia. Just head over to the bank. Tell them you want to build a home. You know, tell them you're trying to do something different. They go hook you up. Nice financial services. We are joined this afternoon with Ms. Shavana Francis. Shavana is a mental health coach. I think I'll use it. I don't use the word therapist. Should I use the word therapist?
Coach.
Let's use the word coach. Shavana will be talking to us this afternoon about her business and, of course, generally mental health. I see you have a nice shirt on you.
Yes.
I can't read the... I see life and learning. But yes. What's on top?
Espoir.
Espoir.
Espoir is French for hope.
Ellen, I thought you're a Spanish teacher.
Yes, yes, I am, but I still know French.
Okay, so Espoir is your life and learning center for people who suffer from trauma, that's a different thing.
Yes.
You understand? People who suffer from some sort of mental illness. How do I apply for my first session? What do I do? How do I contact you? How do I say, let me come and talk to Shavana. How do I do that?
So actually, I just started a trauma clinic that is devoted to doing somatic work. So somatic work is a type of therapy that brings the body into mental health care. So usually what we see is that if you go to speak to a counselor or a traditional therapist, you talk about all the problems.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people come out of it feeling like, well, I've said everything.
They're feeling light.
But nothing changes.
Mm-hmm.
And they go through years of being in therapy, and because you're only talking and not doing anything else, then nothing really changes for
mm-hmm.
you. And so somatic therapy, what that does is that it starts to work directly with your nervous system. So there are some people whose experiences are really difficult and they cannot talk about it. So we don't talk about it. We just move through how it's affecting your body and your nervous system and help you heal through your body. And so to prepare for a session, all you need to do is show up, because you carry your nervous system wherever you go. And so if you come to a session, whether you do it virtually or in person...
Because that was my next question, my follow-up question. What? So is somatic something that I have to come and I don't know if I stretch in?
No.
Yeah. Okay, so I just talk. We're just having a conversation.
Yes, but we don't only talk. No, so okay. we check in with your body to see how is that resonating. So, for example, a while ago you said when you have the papers to correct, you feel the burn in your chest. So I would help you sit with that burn in your chest and start to separate it so that you can settle the anxiety, so your body doesn't stay tense in that burn and continue to recycle it all the time. So that's what we do in somatic therapy, and there's nothing you need to do to prepare to come to a session. You just need to show up.
Okay. So somatic therapy, tick. All right. My follow-up question is, how long is a session?
Typically, we do one-hour sessions, but in the first 5 minutes, people start to feel shifts from doing somatic work. So we could do a session for as little as 30 minutes, but I don't go past 1 hour because it can become really heavy to move through so many things. And because we're working directly with your nervous system, when you hold heavy emotions, it can be exhausting. And so you need to give the body space so it can rest and recuperate. So an hour.
Okay. In my reading this afternoon, I actually saw something with mental health in the Caribbean, right? And in this document, it was speaking to the fact that within the Caribbean, we like to associate mental illness with something supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes, oh, boy, they don't make jest.
Mm.
Or somebody do that boy evil. That's why, you know, that's sort of
yeah.
thing. It's really within the fabric of Caribbean society. You understand? I don't really like it. You understand? But it's still part of our culture, part and parcel. It goes with our culture. But within somatic therapy and, of course, your sessions, do you set up things like counseling goals? Or, I mean, if I walk in, do you sit and probably analyze me and say, well, he has this and that. He probably need to do X, Y, and Z to help him get out of that. I'm just asking.
Yeah. One of the things I like to say is that in somatic therapy, I don't work with your disorder or your diagnosis. I work with you as a human being and your nervous system. That's all. So there's no preconception of who you are and what you come with, and then to make a determination and a label and all of that. We just work with what is very present in your body. And so if we have an agenda, it means that we're superseding your body and we're following what I want you to do. You might come today and you might have burning sensations in your chest, and then we might go in a completely different direction because we're following what is present in your body from whatever it is we started working on last week. So we never really have an agenda that we're sticking to scripts. No.
Okay. So it's not something that I could say, oh, well, you're coming in for 6 weeks or you're coming in for 8 weeks or 8 sessions. It's something that is really dependent on you as a, as an individual. How many times you probably want to come and...
Well, yes and no. So what I do is I work with people in journeys. So we do either 4 months or 8 months at a time. And we do 3 sessions per month and we follow your body. But the more time you give your nervous system just to know that it has space, the quicker you see the results. So if I tell you we're going to work together for 1 month, in 1 month you're not going to see as much change. If I tell you we're working together for 4 months, in 1 month you're going to see so much change. And so we do either 4 months or 8 months, but that depends on what your current disposition is when I first meet with you as a potential client.
Okay, Ms. Francis, I must say, you're really taking the words out of my mouth. Because again, my follow-up question was, Tommy, how long do you anticipate seeing me for? You understand? Like, for how long? Is it like coming there for a quarter, coming there for half of the year? That's an important question. Because somebody gets into something, they have to know that, you know, yeah, I'm there for a while. You understand? I have to condition myself to, again, be mentally ready to come and do what I have to do. And that's somatic therapy for that amount of time. But I need to come back to you for another second. I like to talk to you. You know,
thank you.
It's been nice. You understand? But what do you do outside of work that helps you maintain a healthy, well-balanced life? I mean, I think that's important because if you're going to be helping me out, I probably need to do some of the things you do to keep yourself in a good state. Talk to me about that.
I go to therapy myself. So I work with a talk therapist and I work with a somatic therapist outside of St. Lucia. I'm always on the beach. Always, because I love the waves. It's so calming, it's so relaxing. So I'm always on the beach. When I'm going to the beach.
I beg to differ about that one.
Excuse me? We'll talk about that after. We'll talk about that after. And I have amazing people in my life that I can speak to all the time. I prioritize sleep because one of the things that the first thing out of the way when you have problems is sleep. So insomnia, sleep disturbance becomes something so big for a lot of people with a dysregulated nervous system. So I prioritize sleep and rest. Nutrition, going to the gym, although I don't go to the gym these days. But different things like that can really help keep you in balance. So these are some of the things that I do, and I journal a lot.
Okay. You just write. Yeah, that's good. I'll probably take one or two of those tips. But the beach thing,
I can change your mind on that. Yeah. I promise you.
We might have to go to the beach when we leave there. But here we're going on. Next question. We're actually running out of time. But what do you consider one of the most important traits to have as a therapist?
I think anybody in a helping position, whether you're a therapist or not, one of the things, the best things you can do is be able to hold space for people. So that means literally receiving people without judgment, without labeling them, without making them feel invalidated, just holding space for them to be human and being fully present with them. That can change somebody's life in so many ways, just being present with them. And so I think that is one of the most important things. And emotional intelligence, like, I cannot speak about that enough. Emotional intelligence is so important.
Okay. You know, some people don't know what emotional intelligence is. You know, sometimes you have to break some things down, you know.
Yeah. So emotional intelligence is basically just understanding emotions, yours and other people's, and being able to hold space for all of it. Being able to hold space for your own emotions and your humanity and other people's emotions and humanity.
No, a lot of people don't have that.
No, they don't.
I think probably it's an educator thing.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that as a teacher, they tell you, you need to be able to show compassion. You need to be able to understand a lot of the time, because you have different students coming to you on a daily basis, and probably one of the softest teachers at your institution. Or you say, I love Miss Francis. Is that because Miss Francis understand? I could probably give Miss Francis my homework late, and she'll say, you know, I've done anything. Okay.
I think if my students hear that, they will be, it's a lie.
It's a lie. No, the face you're giving me there. You know, I'm the opposite. Eh? At school, I got like probably 10 labs late between labs with you last week, and I got them late by almost a week. Normally, I'm supposed to take 10% off each one of that. I probably shouldn't be saying that. But I don't take out the 10%. Depending on the... When I was a student, I would always give my labs late. I had a thing about me. It's better you give something late.
And you know it. Not give it at all?
Yeah, not that. It's better you give something late that you know it's correct. Then you rush and give something up and it's not correct. So I did that through my time at South. I did that through my time at university. And I try to bring it back with the students now. Mm-hmm. Understand? I'm not saying that y'all should be giving me a work late, but at the same time, I understand.
Yeah.
So I think showing, you know, having a bit of compassion is very much there. So emotional intelligence
and space holding
is very important.
Yes.
You understand? So tick.
Yes.
I take in my boxes today. Okay. Where do you see yourself in the next few years? Probably the next 2 or 3 years. What's it looking for? Espoir.
Oh, well, we are fully functional clinic. So I have the clinic. It's right now it's just virtual, but I'm hoping by the end of this year to have a brick and mortar location, and then to also start offering training so other people can get involved in somatic work, so we could really start to bring healing to the Caribbean collective. I think that is what is missing from mental health in the Caribbean. And I'm happy to partner with the organizations that make it happen to bring it to us in the Caribbean.
Okay. I think that's it from me. Did I miss anything?
Yes, I am having an event at the end of this month.
Oh my God, you told me that and I completely... I know something was missing, you know?
Yes.
So talk to me about that event.
So it's called WOLF, and WOLF stands for Women Owning a Legacy of Freedom. So this is for women who are breaking barriers and setting new legacies for themselves and their families. So changing the trajectory of their lives and just doing amazing things. So it's for professional women and entrepreneurs to take a day and come and heal and be supported and network and be in community with other like-minded and like-spirited women.
Okay. So WOLF, again, you know, you haven't told us how to contact you, Instagram.
On Instagram at I Am Shavana. That's the easiest way to find me.
Let me type it now. Let me see if it's that easy. And if I get it one time.
It is that
easy. Just give me a second.
I am the only Shavana.
You're the only one? I am
Shavana.
S-H. Okay, I am she live, eh? Yeah.
You see?
I see that. Yeah. All right. So I am Shavana on Instagram. Hey, the following growing. Let me hit that. Let me hit the follow one time. Yes, and Shavana Francis, people. This is Youth Unplugged. Shavana, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
The pleasure is mine. You know, it's all about the WOLF at the end of the month. You didn't give me a date, though.
On March 26th at Stony Hill Estate. If you want more details, you could just reach out to me on Instagram.
There's a big thing going on there. I probably have to come to WOLF.
You should.
I'll be the only guy at WOLF.
You should.
Understand? All right. Well, I come in. Seriously. All right. Guys, this has been another edition of Youth Unplugged, brought to you by the Bank of St. Lucia. This month, International Women's Month, we're doing women the entire month. So get used to hearing some soft-spoken people and some beautiful voices on the Youth Unplugged. Thanks again so much, Shavana, and thank you, listeners. My name is Khaled Vidal. I'll be with you again next week.